Well, hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Q on Q. I'm so honored that you've decided to join me and listen to our podcast this week, whether you've tuned in to a previous episode or listening for the first time. Welcome. In Q on Q, I look forward to talking with you, sharing with you, and hopefully inspiring you in the days and weeks to come. In Q on Q, I'll be sharing about life, inspiration, music, family, and a little bit of everything in between. I need to start today's episode out by saying thank you. I'm overwhelmed with gratitude for your support of our first two episodes. Downloads and streams from all over the country and even a few internationally. Thank you for your support and your feedback. If you tuned in for episode two, I hope that the printed note materials were a helpful addition for you this week. We're going to continue with that this week. There is a note guide with references available for episode three. It is online. We encourage you to download it and follow along and fill it in as we go. It's available for you on our podcast website, which is qonq.com. That's the letter Q, the word on, and the word Q, Q-U-E-U-E, qonq.com. Well, today's topic is one that is debated in many circles, and please know, I am not here to debate with you on how you define love or what you think love is or isn't. I'm here to share with you my perspective and what I feel I'm called to do when it comes to love. Love is a very big word made up of only four letters. Everyone in the world seems to have their own definition of what love is. There are so many holidays to celebrate love. We have Sweetest Day, Significant Other's Day, days to celebrate parents and grandparents and siblings, and the ones we like to call Hallmark holidays, at least in our household. And of course, the big one, Valentine's Day, which was just celebrated right before the release of this episode. I did quite a bit of research on this topic, and I found that throughout history, there have been eight different forms of love identified. And you've probably experienced many of them at one point or another in your life. There's affectionate love. That's love without romantic attraction, often between friends or family members. There's enduring love. That's a mature love that grows over time, often formed between you and your spouse or your absolutely closest friends. There's familiar love. That's the kind experience between parents and children, or those you experience the most memories with, often from your childhood. There's romantic love. That's passionate love displayed often through physical affection. There's playful love, or sometimes called flirting, or the beginning stages of a relationship. There's obsessive love, where you often worry about someone else more than yourself, and this one can be unhealthy, often leading to jealousy or possessiveness. There's self-love, where you know your worth and have a healthy self-compassion towards yourself. And the last one, the one I want to talk about with you today, is selfless love, often termed Christian love. That's an empathetic love towards everyone and anyone. In John 15:12 in the Bible, it says we are to love one another. Jesus said these words, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." As Jesus spoke these words to the disciples, they stood in the upper room, he stresses how much he really cared that they loved one another, and that they do so according to the measure and quality of his love for them. We've been sent out into the world to love one another. And you know, sometimes we live as if we were sent into the world to compete with one another, or dispute with one another, or even quarrel or fight with one another. However, his love was the source and the measure of theirs. And with those few words, Jesus called their focus to be unity instead of rivalry, trust instead of suspicion, and obedience instead of self-assertion. Sounds good, right? But can we do it? I know. Easier said than done sometimes. I heard a quote one time that said, "I love mankind. It's people I can't stand." Let's face it, sometimes people are just irritating. I'm just trying to be real with you here. People who pull out in front of us in our vehicles, we want to just honk the horn. How can they be so rude? Coworkers who think they know better than us, why don't they stay mind their own business? Or our kids when they won't listen, they irritate us so much and we just want to pull our hair out and who knows. Even people at churches can be difficult to love. It's like, you know, singing that old chorus in church that says, "I'm so glad you're a part of the family of God," but instead turning to the person next to you and saying, "I'm surprised you're a part of the family of God." I know that sounds really, really rude, but sometimes it's hard to love people. Sometimes it's hard to love the people closest to us, even our own family. So how do we make love a dominating characteristic in our lives? Well, love needs to be a priority. And yes, I know, loving people is sometimes very, very difficult. However, we are reminded over and over in life and in the scriptures on why loving others is so important. In 1 John 3:11, it says, "This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another." Another verse in Matthew says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." We all know we spend time on what we think is most important. I mentioned in the last podcast that you can often tell where a person's priorities lie just by looking at their calendar and their checkbook. For many of us, these choices are valid. Time with family and friends, work, prayer, service to the kingdom, fighting for rights, protesting wrongs. Even though we have free will to choose our own priorities, Jesus made a point of defining certain ones as most important. And let's be very clear about something. Love is not a gray area. We have been called to give love priority. Every thought, response, every act of goodwill that we do must first pass through the filter of love. So, what makes love so important? Well, we were reminded that love is to be held in highest esteem. In John 14, Jesus reminded us that we would keep his commandments by showing love. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans 13:10 that love does no wrong to a neighbor, and love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. And I know you might be sitting there saying, this sure sounds like a pie-in-the-sky vision when we rely so much on force to uphold and fulfill the law, and while just being angry with people is so much easier, and just letting them kind of live their own lives. Yet, the simple command requires greater strength than any of us naturally possess. Love fulfills the law. Because if we truly love every person, we will not desire to do anything that would cause harm or issues towards that person. When we demonstrate Christian love, it distinguishes believers from the rest of the world. I'm a school teacher. There have been numerous times in my career when I've had a major issue with a student or a group of students, and the kids used to say, "Boy, if Mr. Query yells or gets really mad, you know it must be serious because he never gets angry." And I'm not saying there's not appropriate times to raise your voice or appropriate times to correct, but why did I choose to be that way? Why do I choose to have a positive persona more than anything else? I could have yelled and literally tried to scare discipline into a kid, but honestly, what does that solve? How much more do we accomplish when we take a step back, look at the whole situation, sit down, talk to the kid, and treat it from the perspective of somebody who wants to help come to a resolution? That, my friends, is a way of showing love. From the very beginning, God's plan was to develop people that reflected his character. And what is that character? It's love. Now, in talking all about this, we need to make sure not to confuse Christian love with something else, like instant gratification. Love is not just a feeling, though that's kind of what we term it as. You know, I love people, or I love her, or I love him, or I love that. And we make it something much more trivial than it really is. Love is really a way of life. It's taking an active interest in others. You know, we were loved not because we have something to offer, but rather because Christ had something to offer to us. We were given so much, and everyone around us is of incredible value and has the ability to receive mercy. God sent his only son to die in the place of our wrongs. And because people mattered so much to him, they ought to matter to us. We should love others just as he loved us and loves them. I said earlier that none of this is easy. And I'm not sitting here trying to say that, you know, if you start today thinking, I'm going to love everybody, that suddenly everything's going to be solved. The fact is that we're all human. Okay? None of it's easy. It's easiest to just do our own things, let everybody else do their own thing, not worry about what other people do or worry about their consequences. But this is contrary to what we have been called to do. Love like this is uncomfortable. It calls us to love others who may seem unlovable. It calls us to forgive people who may have done the absolute wrongs to us. And though it may seem difficult to forgive people, or it may seem difficult to want to release something like that, once you do, it actually makes things easier. Loving others is like taking a gamble, okay? What if others don't reciprocate that love? What if others don't reciprocate that forgiveness? Well, that's not the point. Love makes a statement and has the potential to leave a legacy. Listen to that again. Love makes a statement and has the potential to leave a legacy. The fact is that love has the potential to do the unexpected. Please hear me on this. Loving others should not come at the expense of forgetting to love yourself. Remember, God made you in his image, and just as he wants you to love others, he wants you to grow. Grow in the purpose he's called you for. So how do you manage all of that at the same time? Well, certainly not in your own power. You know, I've sat down and tried to make lists of goals and organize my calendar and you know, set priorities. And I'm not saying that any of that stuff is bad. But the fact is that when I try to do it myself, most often, I don't have a whole lot of success. My wife can testify to this. For many years, I was a yes man. Anything people asked of me, I said yes. Need help with a computer? Yes. Need somebody to tape your engagement? Yes. Need somebody to work sound for this event? Yes. Need help with a lesson plan? Yes. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with sharing your gifts, but I found myself sacrificing time for my family, losing sleep and energy, minimizing the importance of other responsibilities, including ones that I had been called for to serve the kingdom. The big thing that was lacking in all of this was asking God to help me through. I tried to do this under my own power, tried to make all my own decisions. I tried to love and serve others, but really through my own ambition. It wasn't until I hit that burnout point that I came down to reality. I turned to prayer, turned to the godly counsel of those I trust in leadership, and came to the realization that doing all these things on my own, or at least trying to do all these things on my own, was not what I should be doing. That being said, we do need to help others. We do need to serve others. We do need to love others. And Christian love inevitably carries cost. Even when the cost is high, we can count on God to bring us through and bring fulfillment to his followers. The goal of life should be to love. The measure of our maturity is our love for others. Again, the measure of our maturity is our love for others. If we fail in our love, then we've missed what it means to be a believer. We cannot love others like Christ without having him in our lives. We need to place our trust in him and let him teach us how to love as he has loved us. I haven't shared all of this with you claiming to be any kind of expert. I am a frail human being who is 44 years old with aches and pains and is imperfect and makes more mistakes than I can count. But what I've discovered in life is just what an impact love can make. Yes, it's hard. Absolutely, it's hard. But try it. As I talked about with making habits for your New Year's focus last time, once you try loving others and work on reshaping your mindset for a period of time, it has the potential to become a habit. It may look different for everybody. Maybe it's getting up and telling yourself every day things that you're grateful for. Maybe it's getting up every day and focusing on people in your life that you can make a difference in. Once it becomes habit, you can have more of an impact on you than you would ever know. In your health, in your mindset, in social circles, in opportunities, and much, much more. Joy, love, peace are so powerful. Do you have a story about how you've witnessed love and the impact it's been able to have on others? I would love to hear your story. Drop me a note, share it with me. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Quarry Pro, or at my websites, brianquarry.com, or our podcast website, qonq.com. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for tuning in, and thank you for continuing to support this adventure. Next time, we're going to talk a little bit about discovering your calling. Your job and your career is one thing, but what is your calling? I really do appreciate you taking time to tune in. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you back here next time when we'll have more for you on Cue.